Post-COVID years of recovery, we were looking forward to a degree of normality, some peace and calm returning to our lives. And since we last met together in a Nine Lessons and Carols, war has started again in Europe, and a revolving door was fitted on the front of number 10 Downing Street. We lost our monarch after 70 years. We've been plunged into an economic crisis not of our own making, and that's on top of the various things that we've had to deal with individually and as families. And it almost gives the appearance that chaos is reigning rather than anything else. And so why on earth, or what on earth, does the Christmas message have to say to a world where there's such chaos? And yet, that's exactly the type of environment the message of Christmas speaks into. Because it was a time of chaos when Jesus came into this world. I know we can see in our Christmas cards these nice, lovely images, but it was a hard, tough, unforgiving arena. But chaos couldn't keep Jesus out of this world, and chaos won't keep Jesus out of our world today. And so as we go through the message of Christmas through the readings and through the carols, we're going to be confronted with the reality that whether it's chaos or whether it's calm, there is a message from God of hope for each one of us tonight. We're going to begin by standing to sing our first carol, which is Once in David's Royal City.
First lesson is taken from the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, chapter 3, beginning at verse 8. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The snake deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." To the woman he said, "I greatly increase your pains in childbearing. With pain you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat of it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground, since from it you were taken. For dust you are, and to dust you will return."
Thank you. Lesson 2 is taken from Genesis chapter 22, verses 15 to 18. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, "I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore."
Lesson 3, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2, 6, and 7. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this.
Thank you. Lesson 4 from Isaiah chapter 11. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of the knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea.
Thank you. lesson 5 is from Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to call him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be, Mary?" asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her.
Lesson 2, Luke 2, chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken off the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn.
Mm-hmm.
Lesson 7 from Luke 2, reading from verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger.
Lesson 8 is from Matthew 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route.
Lesson 9 is from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not understood it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision, or of a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth.
Thanks to all those who read from the Bible this evening, and thanks to Graham for keeping us right with all these tunes. Well, at Christmas time, there's some very odd lyrics at times that we hear in the shops when we're out in our Christmas shopping with big smiles on our faces. I suppose the oddest lyric, you know, there won't be snow in Africa this Christmas time. Well, that's lies, isn't it, that it's snow in Mount Kenya all year round. It just doesn't make any sense, but it just fitted in the song, didn't it? Even some Christmas carols, there's some words, some lyrics that are rather odd in the carol Silent Night, and it talks about round yon virgin, and folks of a certain vintage, you know, understand that. Folks who are younger perhaps don't. Just talking about the calm, the bright that's round this mother who's a virgin as she's given birth. So sometimes lyrics can be a little bit confusing. Sometimes they can just be completely wrong. But sometimes they can be just loaded with significance. I want to take you for a couple of moments back to the original Christmas hit. Long before any of Cliff Richard's stuff or whatever happens today, long before that was even thought of, long before even you go even further back, it was 17th century some of these carols that we sing were written. I want to go right back to the dateline. I want to go right back to the event that changed us from BC to AD, from before Christ to Anno Domini, the year of the Lord. I want to take you to the birth of Jesus. And the artists who sing in our song, we only know our first name, a little bit like Adele. Who knows Adele's surname? Very few of us probably. But the artist for this song is Mary. Now, her song is loaded with significance. Every line in the song means something. Let me read it for you. My soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. Every line there is significant. In less time than it'll take us to sing the first Noel, because that goes on forever, doesn't it? And in less time than it takes to sing the first Noel, let me highlight three things from this song that Mary sung. Number one, she tells us that God is mindful of her. It blows her mind to think that God has been mindful of her. The God who holds every molecule and atom in place, having created them. The God who knows the motive behind every movement of our muscles and our mind. The God who really knows us. The God of such power is actually interested in lowly individuals like Mary, like me, and like you. It blows our mind. But God is so powerful and so other. He's so different. Why would he possibly take anything to do with us? And yet that's what she's singing about. She's just been told that the Savior is on his way. The Savior for men, women, boys, and girls. And she's amazed that God would be using her in this great outworking of his plan. She's stunned that God would actually have anything to do with her. In fact, anything to do with the world. So what do we learn? We learn that God is not detached. God is not distant from this world. Whether it's calm in your world tonight, whether it's chaotic in your world tonight, God is mindful of what's going on in your life. Because just as he's mindful of Mary, he's mindful of us. There's not a single burden that any one of us has carried either tonight or any of the days of this year that God's been unaware of. There's not been a single tear shed that God doesn't have a record of. God is mindful. God knows. And God knows us far better than anybody else does. You know, sometimes you're left asking the question, who really knows you? And you say, well, our closest family, well, surely they know us. But do they? Do they really know what goes on inside our heads? But God does. And he says he's mindful of us. He's interested. Second thing this song tells is that God is mighty. He is mighty and he's powerful. And you say, well, hang on a minute. If God knows and if God is mighty and powerful, why is he not doing something about the mess of this crazy world? We see enough brokenness in this world, don't we? There's enough hurt and heartache and even hatred. We see it in others sometimes. We see it even in our own souls, in our own inner beings. Why is God not doing something about the mess in this world if he is mighty? If he's got this power that no one can resist, and if he understands what life is like, why isn't he doing something? Well, the very song itself is being sung because God is doing something. Mary recognized that God was doing something spectacular, almost as it were, the warrior stepping into the arena, ready to take on the foe. That's been the reason behind all the brokenness in this world. God is mighty, and God is doing something about it. And the third lesson from her song is very simply this, that God is merciful. Not simply has he been mindful of her, not simply is he mighty in his name and in his character, but he's merciful. Because here's the thing, you can know about God that he's powerful. You can know about God that he knows more about us than we do ourselves, but that doesn't change our lives. Because see, what changes our lives is actually experiencing that God is merciful to us. In this song, it talks about the type of people that God can be merciful to. And it talks about those who are humbled, those who are hungry, in many ways, those who are helpless, those who recognize that they've tried everything else and they can't get any satisfaction. Those who recognize there must be some explanation to why we're attracted to beauty, that there must be some explanation as to why beauty doesn't last, because we're built for beauty. There's something about this world that doesn't make sense apart from God. And so knowing that God has a knowledge of you and he's powerful actually won't make Boxing Day significant. You know what Boxing Day's like, isn't it? You wake up and you're, oh, you know, with most of us have got a pretty full stomach. And you hear kind of Christmas carols or the Christmas songs, they just seem out of place, don't they? And there's no more excitement among the young folks because Christmas is done for another 365 days. And for many, the Boxing Day blues settle. You see, what transports the message of Christmas to a message that will actually keep us through Boxing Day and through every other day is a recognition of the gift of God and his mercy to us, a gift that gets better the more we appreciate who Jesus is and what Jesus has done and the mercy that he reveals of the heart of God. So whatever odd lyrics you can think of, and you can share with me afterwards, I'm sure some from other songs or carols that you've heard over the years, let's remember the lyrics of this first Christmas hit. It tells us that God is mindful of you, he's mindful of me. God is mighty. There is no power to rival him. But God is merciful. And he's shown it to us above all in the greatest gift ever, the gift of Jesus for himself. So it's no wonder, therefore, that when he was born, angels sung in the sky. And that's what we're going to sing of now. Hark the herald, angels sing.
Thank you.
Let me close with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us the opportunity to think again about the birth of your Son and our Saviour. Thank you for the privilege of being able to praise your name. And we pray that through all the various busyness and distractions of this time, that we would be given the grace to remember that this is about your Son and that great gift given to us. So help us to rejoice in your mercy, in your gift of a Saviour tonight. May your blessing rest upon each home represented here. We ask this in our Saviour's name. Amen.